Grace to you and peace from God the Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The Word of God that engages us today is a section of that lesson just read, specifically 1 Chronicles 25, verse 1. Then David, together with the commanders of his army, set apart some of the sons of Asaph, Jeduthun, and Hethan for the ministry of prophesying, accompanied by harps, lyres, and cymbals. This is the list of the men who performed this service. And for the rest of the chapter, the chronicler goes on and provides a list of 288 Levitical musicians. Now, preaching on a list is a certain sleeper. It will certainly cause liturgical listlessness. It is sermonic suicide. Narrative, sure, we say around here. Epistles, Psalms, Proverbs, even apocalyptic, bring it on. But lists, it's best to avoid lists, shun lists, never preach on lists. But if you're like me, loving lists, then in 1 Chronicles, you have come to the pot of gold at the end of the rainbow. In fact, 1 Chronicles begins with 9 chapters of lists, beginning with Adam in 1:1, going to Azel in 9:44. And in subsequent chapters, there are lists of David's mighty men, lists of David's victories, lists of priestly divisions, lists of Levites who bring the Ark of the Covenant to Jerusalem. Today, we celebrate the musical ministry of Johann Sebastian Bach, who died on this day, July 28th, 1750. And so we have a list. You see, Bach had a study Bible, a 3-volume study Bible, the Kalov study Bible, and in that study Bible, he wrote notes. And along the margins of 1 Chronicles, chapter 25, Bach writes in his proverbial red ink these words: "This chapter is the true foundation for all God-pleasing church music." Bach also underlines Kalov's comments in the study Bible in 1 Chronicles 25, verse 1, quote, "The musicians are to express the word of God in psalms and spiritual songs, playing in the temple accompanied by instruments." Bach was drawn to 1 Chronicles chapter 25 because not only are there instruments, harps, lyres, and cymbals, but also these musicians are described using prophetic terminology. For example, in 1 Chronicles 25 verses 1, 2, and 3, the Hebrew verb navah is used, which means to prophesy. In verse 5 of 1 Chronicles 25, the Hebrew verb chazah is employed. It means to prophetically see a vision. 1 Chronicles 25 is therefore the true foundation for all God-pleasing church music because it says unequivocally that the role of hymnody and liturgy is to prophetically proclaim Yahweh's word. And so this J.S. Bach, who has been called the classic Lutheran layman, the theologian, the teacher, a sign from God, the first great German voice since Luther, and of course, the fifth evangelist, this J.S. Bach on this, his death day, gives to us a list. A list of 288 Levitical musicians. It's true, you say, a certain sleeper, sermonic suicide. The poor lector, Micah Gott, had difficulty, as all of us would have, even pronouncing these names. This is a list. It means absolutely nothing to us this morning, right? Right. But If you were in the heat of the battle in ancient Israel, a list like this meant everything. In 1st and 2nd Chronicles, wars and rumors of wars abound. Pharaoh Shishak attacks Jerusalem. Judah attacks Ramoth-Gilead. Josiah attacks Pharaoh Necho. Judean kings named Asa, Jehoram, Uzziah, Hezekiah are all skilled at fortifying cities for battle. They're all great when it comes to giving their soldiers swords and spears and shields, and of course, the slingshots. But Israel's chief weapon of mass destruction, God-pleasing church music. Instructive are the events of 2 Chronicles chapter 20. Here, the Judean king Jehoshaphat gains a great victory over Ammonites, Edomites, and Moabites. How does he do it? First, a Levitical singer named Jahaziel stands up and praises Yahweh. Then other Levites join in. Then the climactic verse, 2 Chronicles 20, verse 21, quote, Jehoshaphat appointed Levites to praise Yahweh and to sing to him for the splendor of his holiness and to go out at the head of the army singing, Hodu LeYahweh Ki Tov Ki LeOlam Kazdo. Give thanks to Yahweh. He is good. His loyal love endures forever. Here, Psalm 149, verse 6 comes up huge. The praises of God are in their mouths, like a double-edged sword in their hands. You see, when the people of God have the praises of God in their mouths, they silence the foe and the avenger. When biblical texts and doctrine are placed to music, those texts and doctrines become memorable, don't they? Teachable, devotional, transformational. God-pleasing church music in the sanctuary, in the balcony, entering our ears, striking our hearts, makes us, like Jehoshaphat, armed and dangerous. In Ein feste Burg ins unser Gott, Luther reminds us, as does Paul, that we struggle not with flesh and blood, not with Ammonites, Edomites, and Moabites. No, he says the old evil foe now means deadly woe. Though devils all the world should fill, all eager to devour us, this world's prince may still scowl fierce as he will. With dread, craft, and might, he arms himself for fight. On earth is not his equal. This enemy comes to kill and steal and destroy. We see him in the rearview mirror. We feel his hot breath upon our necks. We hear his hellish scream in our hearts. He says, whatever you want to do as tempter, he says, just do it. Have some anger floating around, express it. Have some juicy church gossip, let it rip. Have some sexual fantasies, ready, set, go. As deceiver, he says, there are no consequences, no rules, no responsibilities. Put the pedal to the metal. And then when you and I have said this and thought this and done this and seen this as accuser, he puts his foot on our neck and says, God is finished with you. But we have a list of prophets who sing the word of God. Example A, Holy Trinity Lutheran Church, Edmond, Oklahoma, where I worshiped this past Sunday. In the bulletin, choir director Keith Christensen, soloist Paula Haas, liturgist Vicar Frank Green, one of our own, preacher Reverend Barry Hankey. Just a list. Probably don't know those people. Don't say that to the congregation at Holy Trinity in Edmonds. Oh my, these people, these gifts of God, these are the ones who preach and teach and sing and ring and pray and praise, and they get the saints at Holy Trinity ready for battle. You see, through the poetry of music, through the doxology of music, the victory of Israel's greatest singer is delivered. Just like Jehoshaphat, he dared to sing in the heat of the battle. Matthew 26, 30, after they had sung a hymn, he went out to the Mount of Olives. Look, the Son of Man is about to be betrayed with a kiss. And then there are, in staccato-like fashion, deniers and mockers and spitters and scourgers, and there would be nailers, and they all try to steal the most beautiful song ever sung. Silence the song! And all the demons of hell thought they had won. 3 days later, the song sings on. Jesus the Nazarene, crucified yet risen indeed, Hodu le Yahweh ki tov, ki leolam kazdo. Through the church, this song goes on. And so, Leipzig's greatest cantor, the composer of the St. Matthew's Passion, the St. John's Passion, the Mass in B minor, numerous cantatas that proclaim the Father's victorious love for us in Jesus. With such amazing musical texture and color, this J.S. Bach on this his day gives to all of us a list of 288 musicians. Just a list, but for the baptized and the bodied and the bloodied, for those of us who know what it's like to be tempted and deceived and accused and harassed and chased and slam dunked, for those of us who know the heat of the battle, a list of people who prophetically proclaim the living word of Yahweh. Why, it means, it means absolutely everything. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.